Well, as we said, this evening is a very special occasion. In a little while, Sophie, Megan, Steve and Ravin will be baptized. Why are they being baptized? Well, they're going to tell you in their own words. But they've become Christians. Baptism doesn't make them a Christian. Baptism is a symbol, a sign that they have already become Christians. They found Jesus Christ. Well, how did it happen? And to answer that question and more, Jesus tells two parables. We have in Matthew chapter 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. They are simple, easy to remember stories. But behind the story lies a greater reality. Jesus is not really talking about hidden treasure and beautiful pearls. So what we're going to do this evening, we're going to remind ourselves of the two parables, and then we'll ask two questions. So if you have a Bible, you might find it helpful to have those parables in front of you. If you haven't, don't worry. So we're going to look, first of all, at the parable of the hidden treasure. What's it all about? Well, listen carefully. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, where do you keep your valuables? Well, that ancient world wasn't a particularly safe place. There were no banks. There was a constant threat of war and raiding parties and thieves. So if you had valuables, what did people do? Well, they sometimes buried the family silver in the ground, which was fine until great Uncle Henry died, without telling anyone where he'd hidden the family fortune. So dotted all over the ancient world was literally buried treasure. So here's the man in our parable. He's in a field. He hasn't got a metal detector. He's not looking for anything. When quite by accident, he stumbles over one of these stores of hidden treasure. Maybe he was ploughing in the field and the plough hit something hard. So what does he do? Well, Jesus says, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So when he discovers the treasure, he checks that no one's seen him, looks this way and that way, and then he buries it again. And for the sheer joy of his good fortune, he goes, he sells everything he has, buys the field, and then claims the treasure for himself. Can you see him? His dry mouth, his heart pounding. He's a potential millionaire. And he runs home and he sells everything, everything. You know, there's Granny's necklace. It's like a family heirloom. It's been handed down, but he sells that. And a pair of sandals that he's been saving up for, well, they were special to him, but they don't seem special at all now. He sells them. He sells everything. Because having found this treasure, he doesn't care. No obstacle is too great. No sacrifice is too costly. Because the treasure makes amends for all. The treasure is worth more than all that he has. So he sells all that he has to possess it. It's all or nothing. And when he buys the field, he's thrilled. He's won the lottery. The treasure's mine. So do you see? There's treasure, but it's hidden. Something of incredible value, but it's there to be found. And find it he does quite by accident. And he gives up everything to possess it. Well, if a man finds what he's not looking for, in the second parable, a man finds exactly what he's looking for. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, in the ancient world, pearls were highly prized. They were worth more than gold. So here's a merchant. He's a seeker. He's a seeker of beautiful pearls. And it's not just a hobby, it's a passion. I can imagine this man emptying a room. You know the sort of person, they've only got one topic of conversation. And somehow you always get round to it. And they can bore people to tears. Well, here's this man, and he can't stop thinking about pearls. He can't stop talking about pearls. That's the sort of man that he is. He's a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. But every new pearl he finds, I don't know, somehow it just seems to make things worse. Yes, it's a beautiful pearl, but it's not the pearl. Maybe you can sense his disappointment. And he goes on searching for this elusive pearl, which he believes must be out there, the pearl which will bring his searching to an end, the pearl of inexpressible glory. So he's restless. He's seeking. He says to himself, I know it's out there. Something so small, so inconspicuous, and yet of great value. And then one day he finds it. It's not just another pearl. This is it. This is the one. So what does he do? When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And in that moment, all those things he once counted of value, even his collection of pearls, they seem to him as nothing. And he parts with everything to possess this pearl of great price. It's all or nothing. So do you see a seeker who finds at last what he's been looking for? It's something so small, you'd miss it. I could have it in my hand here and you wouldn't know. Something so small and yet of surpassing value. And he's happy to part with everything to gain it. So two parables. There's a man who finds what he's not looking for. And there's a man who finds what he is looking for. But both of them are happy to part with all their world to gain what they found. And so to our two questions. And the first question is this: how do people become Christians? How do they enter the kingdom of heaven? How do they come to bow the knee to Jesus? Well, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found. Some people appear to stumble across Christ quite by accident. They find what they weren't looking for. Now, a day came when Jesus was nailed to a cross. They pinned him up like an insect. They drove nails through his hands and through his feet. How many, seeing that broken, bleeding body, recognized that here was the King? How many, watching him die a shameful, wretched criminal's death, worshipped him as Lord? How many saw that here is God made man? And how many, witnessing his unspeakable sufferings, understood that he is the only way to heaven? No one. He remained hidden, unrecognized. You see, the treasure was buried beneath layer upon layer of humiliation. No one? Well, there was one. One who stumbled across hidden treasure. In fact, the last person in the world you would have expected to find the kingdom of heaven. Well, who? Well, one of the criminals who was crucified with Jesus. A dying thief. And he turns to Jesus and he says to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And a dying thief, a man with only hours to live, finds a treasure all divine. That's how it was And that's how he continues to be. A friend of mine, he thought, all this Jesus stuff is rubbish. You know, he had a taste of sort of traditional religion, and there was Christmas and hymns and mumbled words and men in funny clothes. And maybe like you, he'd been to compulsory RE lessons at school and compulsory assemblies. And whatever they had to say had nothing to say to him. And he certainly didn't need anyone telling him what to believe. And he said, as he said, science has provided us with all the answers. And the Bible is just a fairy tale. And my life will soon be over, so I'm going to enjoy it. In fact, he was so sure that all this Jesus stuff was rubbish that he decided to come to some Christian meetings just to make fun of it all. But as the Bible was opened, and as Jesus Christ was proclaimed to him, he found what he didn't expect to find. He stumbled upon hidden treasure. He found Jesus Christ. And 30 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ is still the love of his life. Many years ago in this country, believers were persecuted by the state. And on this occasion, some Christians, they were meeting in secret in a barn. And an informer, someone was out to get them, he managed to smuggle himself into the meeting by hiding inside a sack of corn. And there he waited. But as the Bible was opened and Jesus was preached, the sack of corn began to cry. And the man was converted. Having entered that barn militantly opposed to Jesus Christ, he left a lover of Jesus. He became what he had no intention of becoming. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Well, Megan, Sophie, Steve, Ravin, they found Jesus. Did they stumble across hidden treasure? Well, you have to listen to what they have to say. But have you found Jesus? Not looking for him? Well, so what? Don't believe this stuff? So what? Have your own beliefs? So what? Can't see it myself? Of course not. It's hidden treasure. But it's there to be found. You don't have to be looking for Jesus to find him. But of course, some people become Christians because they're seekers. We had our reading, didn't we? Our Ethiopian. And here's this man of great authority. This Ethiopian. He's clever. He's erudite. He's powerful. He's a court official of Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. And he's a seeker. It's like our merchant. He's seeking. He's devout. He's already traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. And yet as he returns, he's troubled. He's restless. He knows he's not yet there. It's that elusive pearl. And he's wrestling with God's word. And when Philip arrives at the question, Philip says to him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I? Unless someone guides me. And he asks Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? You see, he's seeking. He's got questions, hasn't he? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. He's seeking. He's got a Bible in his hand. He feels he's so close. The answer must be here. Who's Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else, some other man? Tell me. And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. He tells him of the pearl of great price. Jesus, irresistible, beautiful, wonderful, beyond words, beyond price, beyond dreams. And beginning of this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Beginning at this scripture, the Jesus who went to the cross, the innocent who was led as a sheep to the slaughter, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the first thing he told them. The Christ who came to die. Do you see, upon that cross, the sins of countless people who've offended God, they were put to Jesus' account. So that when God came to punish the guilty, Jesus took the blame. And because he took the blame for what others have done, everyone who comes as a sinner to Jesus can enjoy peace with God and the calm of sins forgiven. And the Ethiopian, as he listens, he recognizes it immediately. There's that sense of, that's it. That's what I've been looking for. That's the pearl. It's Jesus Christ. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. How can we be so certain that this man has found Christ? Because of what we read next. Now, as they came down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him. Baptism is what's happening tonight, isn't it? What's going on? In baptism, I symbolically, it's a picture. I symbolically finish with my old life to be identified with Jesus Christ. Symbolically, I've been washed clean of all my sins to follow Jesus. And our Ethiopian, he finds more than his heart could wish. And we read he went on his way rejoicing. The search is over. That's how it was. And that's how it continues to be. Let's stay in Ethiopia. Seekers come in all shapes and sizes. There's a witch doctor called Onissa and a slave by the name of Gebre. And they arrived one day at the home of a Bible preacher. And they had a question for him. They said, are you Jesus? They'd heard sort of rumors. They'd heard bits and pieces. They'd heard bits of Bible teaching. And they knew something about this Jesus that, well, they didn't know really what it was about, but they knew it was really important. And they ought to find out. So they came knocking at his door. Are you Jesus? They came seeking answers. This man, he had a Christian friend with him, and they sat down with these two men, and for 2 days and three nights, they talked. They talked about Jesus. They talked about his cross. They talked about his resurrection. He rose from the dead. He's seated in glory in heaven. He rules the worlds. They told them about Jesus. At the end of which, these two men came to trust in him. And so Onissa and Gebre, they stood before a small group of believers. And they held up their right hands like this. And they renounced. They renounced Satan, blood sacrifices, evil practices, and they renounced all their sin. All the things which had offended God. And then they raised the other hand. And they raised both hands high in the air like this. And they said, having renounced Satan, and believing in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God who died for me, I take him as my Savior with both hands. I will never deny him. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. See, they sold up the old life to possess Jesus. They ventured everything on Christ. They gladly sold up all that they once counted dear. And no sacrifice seemed too costly that they might gain Jesus and his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. So again, Megan, Sophie, Stephen, Ravin, they found Jesus. They found the pearl of great price. Were they seeking for him? Were they seekers? Were they like this merchant? Well, again, you have to listen to what they have to say. But I wonder, have you found what you're looking for? Have you questions, but no answers? Maybe you're thirsty, but there's no water. You're hungry, but nothing fills you. You can laugh and enjoy things until you're alone, and those questions come crowding into your mind. And relationships, but they always come with pain and regrets. And money, career, success, but you'd be happy to trade it all if you could find what you're living for, what you're looking for. And the answer you seek, the pearl of great price, begins when you come to Jesus. Maybe you know, maybe like Gebre and Onissa, they'd heard the name, they knew it was really important. They'd heard bits of Bible teaching, and they knew they must come and talk about it, even though they got it all wrong at the beginning. They had questions. Have you come with your questions to an open Bible, seeking to know? So how do people become Christians? Well, some people stumble across the kingdom of heaven quite by accident. They find what they weren't looking for. Others, oh, it's that great sense of at last. They find what they're seeking. And for most people, it's a sort of mixture of the two. Well, maybe you're here tonight because you were invited. And you look at Megan and Sophie and Ravin and Steve and you think, well, I don't really see it. But what does Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The treasure is real, but it's hidden until you find it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. A pearl is small. I could have it in my hand. You wouldn't know it was there. But it's the only prize worth seeking. But it is small. So it's only found by those who look for it. So to our second question, much more quickly. What then must I do if I'm to gain this treasure, if I'm to find this pearl? Well, what does it say? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. To gain the treasure, he sells everything. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. To gain the pearl, he sells all that he has. So if I'm to become a Christian, if I'm to be saved, if I'm to be right with God, if I'm to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ, you see what Jesus is saying? He said that there must be no holding back, no divided heart. It's all or nothing. I must sell up my old life to gain the new. Well, what do I mean? Well, if you follow Jesus, people won't love you for it. If you become a Christian, people will laugh, they'll sneer, sometimes they bully. In some parts of the world, Christians are persecuted, and across the world today, in some countries, Christians will have been put to death simply because they're followers of Jesus. But you see, I sell up my peace, I sell up my reputation to gain Christ. And he makes amends for all. And if I follow Jesus, my priorities will be turned on their head. Instead of my life revolving around my career and money and family and sport and holidays. I gladly surrender all of that I may gain Christ. Now, of course, all those things are still an integral and essential part of my life. Of course they are, but they no longer rule my life. Because Christ does. And there's a sense when I lose all, when I hand over everything to him, is then that I discover that I possess all. It's when I live for Jesus Christ without restraints that I find I have no regrets. So do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, I refuse to make me the center of my life. From now on, for me to live is Christ. Is that madness? You can't see it. What's going on? Well, listen to what Jesus says. Which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he sells all that he has and buys that field. He's convinced. He knows it's not madness. But when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Do you remember Malcolm McLaren? He was a Sex Pistols manager. He was buried last year. And spray painted on his coffin was too fast to live, too young to die. And the coffin was carried out of the church to the strains of My Way sung by Sid Vicious. Is it madness to surrender all to Christ? My way leads only one way. A coffin. The end of all my dreams. And the judgment. And what lies beyond. But to come to Jesus Christ is to give up what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose. A treasure all divine. The pearl of great price. A confirmed bachelor. Any confirmed bachelors here? I see some people smiling. There we are. There are. A confirmed bachelor, I fell in love. He's a changed man. Starts giving away his money, his time, his independence. He gives away himself. What's going on? From the outside, it looks like madness. From the inside, feels like heaven. He's discovered a hidden country in her kiss. And he's given up his freedom to find a new freedom. And he wouldn't have it any other way. He's lost many things to gain something of greater worth, the love of his life. Now, can you understand that? What's happened to our friends? What happens to Christians? They fall in love with Christ. It's a love that eclipses all other loves. And therefore, no sacrifice seems too extreme. Because Christ makes amends for all. And you give up your freedom, as people might look at it. But it's because you found a new freedom. And Jesus is the love of your life. And you look at that cross, where his blood was shed for me. Where he became the meeting place of my sin and God's anger. And he died that I might live. And he endures my hell that I might enjoy heaven. And the Christian looks. And he says, Lord, you did all that for me? I didn't realize how much you loved me. I give myself to you. And it looks like madness. But it feels like heaven. They found something of surpassing value. Maybe you can't see it. It's hidden treasure. It's a pearl that you can't see. But they found it. They found Christ. So what must I do? I must come as a sinner to Jesus. Like our Ethiopian friends, I must hold my hands up. I must surrender. That's what they were doing. We surrender to Christ. I say, oh, Lord, this life I'm living, I know it's a mess. I've wronged you, I've offended you, I haven't loved you with all my heart, I haven't loved my neighbor as myself, I've gone my own way. But I understand that you gave your Son that I might be forgiven, that I might enjoy peace with you, that I might find this treasure all divine. So Lord, forgive me, change me, save me. Jesus says, don't hold back. It's all or nothing. Venture all on Christ. Is it easy to love Jesus? It's only easy for those who do it.